working with these types of clients, whether that's talking about sex or working with non-binary clients, transgender clients, anyone on the LGBTQIA spectrum, or anyone that isn't someone who's just like you, is totally doable. You can do it. It takes a little bit more brain power, but it's totally within your wheelhouse. And there are lots of people out there, including myself, who would love to help you do it.
Getting down to it with pelvic floor physical therapist, Christina Holland. Christina, just really, really open and honest, but very confident and calming, I'd say, on social media about how she discusses the individuals she gets to treat in her pelvic floor physical therapy practice. We bring her on the show to talk about the things that a lot of people typically shy away from talking about. That's kind of how to take the awkwardness out of it. Just get it out there, but do it with confidence. Christina walks us through her story and gives some great tactical tips on how to do just that. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for PTs looking for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it properly in practice. The research, the certification, and the tools. Find out more. Just take a look at OwensRecoveryScience.com, or if you're really into BFR, take a listen to our recent episode with Johnny Owens or his podcast on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are heard.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
I'm still not used to calling it 2020, but yeah, one of our first episodes here in the first month of 2020. Welcome back to the show. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, obviously. And show is free. The best thing we always like to say is if you'd like to pay it forward, tell a friend. If you found an episode particularly enlightening, inspiring, anything, tell a friend and make sure they subscribe. That's the best thing you can do for us. Like today's, if you're listening to it, owner and physical therapist at Inclusive Care and staff physical therapist at Denver Health, part of Integrated Pelvic Health Team and Post-Op Vaginoplasty Team, is Christina Holland. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Before we hit the intro, I was saying, man, you're on the show because you pretty much talk about anything and everything. And I love people who are really open about, well, stuff, but you're open about stuff that people are usually closed off about in terms of pelvic floor. So that's why we're on the show. So, hey, thanks for coming on here and talking with us. What's your brief superhero backstory? You know, where'd you go to PT school and how'd you get into like pelvic floor? How'd you find your way to working with those types of people?
Yeah, sure. So I went to PT school in Atlanta, Georgia. I went to Georgia State and I graduated in May of 2018. I was 150% positive before I went to PT school that I was going to work in pediatrics. I was in PT school for 6 months and was like, oh no, I'm not going to work in pediatrics. So the kind of shortest version of the story is that I wanted to teach an undergraduate anatomy and physiology class to get a tuition stipend, and I reached out to a bunch of people, realized that I might be teaching 18-year-olds in Georgia the word fallopian tube for the first time, and Ooh. That seemed really scary to me.
Yes.
It felt heavy. So I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of people. I ended up reaching out to a researcher. I had no idea who he was at the time. I did it based off of a recommendation from an old advisor. And it turns out this researcher is the researcher that found out when you hear that the birth control pill is 98% effective. He's the researcher that did that study and all studies after that about all different types of contraception.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I had no idea what I was doing. So he asked me if I wanted him to send me his book, to which I just kept saying yes. I just said yes over and over again. And he was like, oh, I see you're in Atlanta. I'm there at a conference next week. Would you like me to comp you in? And I said, yeah, sure. That sounds great. So at the conference, someone was talking about libido discrepancy in women and whether or not it's actually like a physiological issue or a psychological issue or an issue with the reproductive system at all, or if it could be because someone has trigger points in their pelvic floor and they're not getting good blood flow and it's painful. And I'd never heard of that before. And so that was the beginning and I just haven't stopped since.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, I just, everything you just said there, number one, first and foremost, the thing that stuck with me is a lot of people go into PT school thinking they're going to go one way. I'm not sure you'd find a further change though. Pediatrics to pelvic floor, fallopian tubes. That's a pretty big change.
I mean, they're kind of connected, right? Like pediatrics do come from a pelvic floor.
That's true. Very valid. Maybe they're closer than I thought.
And peds do have pelvic floors. I do not personally specialize in pediatric pelvic floor, but it's totally a thing. And I work with babies I see babies all the time because I see a lot of moms who bring their babes in. So it's a good fit for me.
Yeah, I guess like the world, right? As soon as you get as far away from something as you can, the next step is just getting closer to it, right? So I guess pelvic floor and pediatrics, eventually they're going to come together. But the other thing about your backstory, which I liked, is you found something and you kept saying yes, and because you were interested, and I kind of like that. That's a really interesting way to get there, and happy with the decision. I mean, you can be honest. We're just on a podcast that a few thousand people listen to each week, but happy with your decision so far or what?
Oh, so happy with it. So when I first got out of school, I was really, really hesitant to pigeonhole myself into only doing pelvic. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted like a 50-50 or like some type of ortho pelvic mix. And I worked in that type of job for a while and realized that like, actually I just didn't care as much about shoulders as I cared about talking to people about leaking and painful sex and prolapse and all those sorts of things. So like, I was happy to see people who had shoulder pain, but I got up in the morning for the people who I got to talk about this like really intimate stuff with.
Did you feel guilty? And I'm asking this question from a personal understanding of what that was like. Did you feel guilty when you recognized that you wanted to be working with these people, and not that you didn't want to be working with individuals with shoulder issue, but you wanted to be working with a different type of person more? Did you feel guilty at all?
You know, not really.
Okay.
I think some of it was the setting I was in. So I was in, when I was making that decision, I was working as an independent contractor in like a cash pay mix. And it was primarily, we saw a lot of athletes. And so I knew these people were going to get good care. I wasn't worried about people getting good care. So that made it really helpful. And good. I didn't feel guilty about that.
Good. And the reason I ask is because I've heard that before when people say like, I just wasn't inspired to work with insert, you know, different patient population here, runners. I just wasn't inspired to work with runners, or I wasn't inspired to work with, you know, Olympic lifters anymore. And I really wanted to work with this. I hear a lot of people sometimes hesitate because they're like, I have this guilt. And I wanted to hear that from you. Mm-hmm. So if someone out there listening, maybe experiencing that, they can take a jump and say, well, maybe I shouldn't feel guilty about that. Almost like you were giving them permission a little bit.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm down to give people permission, but I really believe that if you let yourself gravitate to the people you are gravitating to, you're going to have a bigger impact as opposed to shooting yourself into something.
I like that. All right, so let's get into the stuff we brought you here for. All right, let's get down on the pelvic floor. First of all, I want to make sure people can follow you. So on Twitter, Tynosaurus Rex. That's
Tynosaurus Rex. T-Y-N-A.
Right. So yeah. It's the end of your name, Christina. Tynosaurus Rex, and on Instagram, Christina.Holland, and that's KristynaHolland on Instagram, because you share a lot of good information. That's really what made me gravitate towards you. Let's talk about the pelvic floor. It should be more about just decreasing pain. That's one thing that kind of resonated with me about a lot of the messages you were sharing.
Yeah, for sure. So the cool thing is that pelvic floor physical therapy is getting some time in the spotlight, which I'm a huge fan of for obvious reasons. But part of what drew me to the pelvic floor in the first place, and I think part of why I don't feel guilty to speak to your earlier question, is that so few people are treating pelvic floor or talking about pelvic floor that there's such a need that I feel like that need is important. And so I didn't mind giving up shoulders for that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people now are talking about pelvic floor primarily in terms of postpartum treatment, and particularly postpartum cisgender women, so new moms, which is awesome. And moms are historically undertreated and not all of their needs are met. So I love that. But I'm looking at it kind of from an even farther, bigger breadth of people.
I like that. You seem very, very confident about that. And a lot of the things that you share online, I don't know. I mean, the confidence just kind of comes through in how you're talking about it. And that's what I was taught in terms of, you know, when I was in school for journalism and PT, which is, I don't like to say like the fake it till you make it, but be confident. Like you as the healthcare practitioner are the one that could make it awkward. If you make it awkward, the situation is going to be awkward. So how to talk to patients about sex in a professional way. The way you speak on social media, and again, that's not like what we're doing now. It's not a conversation, but it comes across that you do care yourself in a professional way. How'd you get to that level of comfort to being able to do that? And how would you suggest other people can get there as well?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I guess it really kind of started a long time ago. I wrote a sex and relationships column in college, and I didn't go out seeking to write that column. I was talking with some girlfriends in my dorm, and a friend of mine was like, hey, she worked for the newspaper at the time, and was like, hey, we're looking for a new columnist. It seems like you have some stuff to say. Would you be interested? And I was like, I don't know about all that. Like, what business do I have writing a column like that? And I went home over winter break and I was like, huh, I wonder if I do have anything to say. And I sat down and wrote, you know, just busted out five columns. And I was like, oh crap, like I have something to say about that. And so that was kind of the beginning. And then I have been a patient. And so I know exactly how awkward it can be. And so trying to avoid the things that made me feel awkward is really helpful. And I'm just also not really an awkward person in general. Figure what's the worst that could happen. Yeah. So I call it my secret superpower. Things that make other people just like horrifically uncomfortable are I am completely unfazed by. Except for things that other people find totally fine, like awkward television, I'm totally mortified by. The Office, like that kind of television humor, I can't hang. So I can talk about vaginas on the internet all day long, but I can't watch The Office.
Wow. That is, you have to give up something to get the superpower. And I guess giving up Michael Scott is what you had to give up to give the world your
must
superpower.
Be my kryptonite.
Yeah. What I liked about a lot of your message, and now I'm starting to come full circle here, how you got so comfortable. So writing a column really was an experience to say what you wanted to say in a safe environment. I mean, that's the cool part about writing, right? You get to be thoughtful and think about it and then push it out to the world. And I'm sure on a college campus, people knew who you were, but you know, that's a great beginning to it. But what I like about what you talk about, and you mentioned pelvic floor now getting in the spotlight, is that you don't stop at reducing pain. You go through, in terms of, let's go back to your shoulder example. Great, you got an individual now who doesn't have shoulder pain, but they want to be able to throw or swim or reach up on, you know, the top of the refrigerator. That's a normal progression as a physical therapist. But for some reason, myself included, I think a lot of times people will think, well, as soon as you're done with reducing pain in the pelvic floor, your work there is done. And a lot of the messaging that I see that you put out is, well, no, that area can inhibit a lot of other things that the individual wants to participate in.
Totally. 100%. Sex is an ADL, right? It's an evolutionary benefit. And so a lot of people are going to be wired to want to participate in that. And that can look like a lot of different things. And so I'm here to help you just like any other physical therapist, any other ortho PT, any acute care PT. I'm here to help you get back to the thing that you really want to do, whatever that is.
Yeah. And just the way you're saying it right there, I mean, literally just the way you're saying it, I can see where it would make someone say, I can see their shoulders drop like, oh, I can talk to this person. I can talk to them about this because this is probably definitely something they're thinking about. And they're in front of someone who can help them do that. And you're giving them the opportunity, which is huge.
Yeah. And that does, I think, take a certain level of skill and practice. Like I didn't necessarily come out knowing how to leave space for all of that. So that definitely took some introspection on my part. And also I've done trainings and things like that to get better at leaving instead of rushing to talk over people or to assume something about what they want to be able to do with their bodies or assume even something as seemingly innocent as their gender or sexuality, leaving space for people to tell their story.
I love the phrase, the two-word phrase you said there, leaving space. Sometimes we have to be taught to leave space to have the other person process what we just said and then respond to us. We know that, and we're taught that with individuals with cognitive issues, right? We know that sometimes you need to wait up to 90 seconds, which can feel like an eternity, but that's what that person needs. But even with individuals, if it's something personal or something difficult to talk about, I loved how you said that, leaving space.
Yeah, totally.
Great. So you brought up gender a little bit, providing affirming care tips, ideas for treating individuals, transgender, intersex, and gender non-binary clients. These are words that are coming up a lot now. That's great. But myself included, and probably a majority of the audience, know a little, but not a lot about individuals like that. How do you explain those to other healthcare practitioners, other people, what you get to do with individuals like that?
So when I work at Denver Health, I'm working as part of a post-op vaginoplasty team. So that is people who are transgender women who have undergone bottom surgery and have had a new vagina constructed. And so they are just the most amped patients because they are finally living in a body that feels much more like themselves. So transgender individuals were identified a certain gender at birth, so which was based solely on the fact that a doctor delivered the baby, looked at their genitals and said, boy or girl. Mm-hmm. That's all it's based on. So that would be transgender. So that person may have been identified male at birth, but always kind of felt like, I don't really feel like this this societal standard of a male. I feel more like a woman. I identify as a woman. Not just like I feel like dressing like a woman, but in my bones, I wake up every morning and I'm surprised to see someone in the mirror that doesn't have breasts, that does have facial hair, that does have a wider jaw. And so that can set up some like really hard experiences for that individual. So that would be transgender. Intersex is someone who at birth probably had something about their genitals that was variant. So maybe they have testes, but they also have a vulva, right? So that can look like a whole bunch of different things. They were born that way. And there's a whole push now for allowing intersex people to grow up intersex and not put them into a box based solely on whatever, again, a doctor who delivered them decides about their body and their healthcare. So that's intersex. And then gender non-binary folks, or gender queer folks, they may also call themselves, are people who do not subscribe to either box. So we think of gender as being male or female. Even trans folks can fit within the binary, right? So if I was identified male at birth, but live my life as a woman and am a woman, that's still fitting within the binary, where a gender queer person might say, I am neither male nor female, I'm something else entirely, or sometimes I'm more male, sometimes I'm more female, and I kind of go back and forth on the spectrum.
That's a spectrum right there. That's a lot that you had to learn how to work within, I'm guessing, right? I mean, this is a lot to take in.
For sure. And I also talk about people's genitals, which we have historically always, like that's how we define gender in a large way. Or, you know, what we call biological sex, but is really not based entirely in the reality or the science, because it's again based on a doctor deciding when a baby is born by looking at their genitals the one time, which in and of itself, when you say those words out loud, sounds super weird. So figuring out how to talk to people about their genitals in a way that isn't gendered.
That's a great point. What are the discrepancies? I wanted you to talk about these in care for members of the LGBTQIA community, especially, you know, in terms of healthcare. A lot of people don't get the care they deserve, whether it's awkward, whether they don't have access to it. But these individuals have to be experiencing that on a further degree, I'm guessing.
Totally. So when we're talking about trans people on trans healthcare specifically, we're looking at, so they did this big transgender healthcare survey in 2015, and hopefully they'll do another one here soon, but they found that 23% of the people who responded didn't see a doctor when they needed to because of the fear associated.
Wow.
So that's almost a quarter of people, of trans people who answered the survey, who were afraid of being mistreated. And I've seen that. A lot of people are just terrified for the next reason, which is a third of people who saw a healthcare provider reported having at least one negative experience related to being transgender. And that only increases if you're a person of color or someone who has a disability or someone who doesn't check another clear box.
Wow. What do you suggest for healthcare providers? And obviously our show is listened to mostly by physical therapists and physical therapist assistants and students in those disciplines. Where can individuals in our audience go to get more information to make sure we aren't perpetuating this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Something I highly recommend is following people in your social media that don't look like you. So go follow trans folks, go follow non-binary folks, go follow. And then there are certainly people on the internet who are both trans and someone of color, or a person of color, or trans or non-binary, and also in a wheelchair or disabled in some way. So I think that's the number one best thing is, you know, humanize these people and remember that they're people and their experiences might be very different than yours, but they're still valid. The other thing I would say is so through Pelvic Guru right now, so Tracy shares education courses, Tuesday Farrell and Heather Reich Edwards did a class that I took on pelvic floor physical therapy in the transgender and non-binary client, and that was super helpful. And they are doing another class more involved with sexuality and talking about sexual positivity in pelvic floor care, which is in healthcare in general, which is super cool. And they're both great resources. Other than that, it can be kind of hard because not a whole lot of people are talking about it yet.
Sure.
It's getting more out there.
Yeah, we had Melissa Hoffman and Carla Bell on from PT Proud, which is, you know, part of the APTA as well. That's ptproud.org. Have you had any interaction there?
Oh yeah, I have not had a whole ton of interaction. Now that you've said that, like I can see their logo in my head, but I haven't personally interacted with them a whole lot. But I will now.
Yeah, I love your suggestion of seeking people out who are different than you. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's a simple answer to a difficult question, which is, if you want to understand more about people who are different than you, talking to people who are similar than you isn't the way to do it.
Right. Totally.
It sounds way smarter when you say it.
I doubt it. But it's also helpful to rip off the Band-Aid, because if you see people who are different than you on the internet, where you're not interacting with them face to face, and they say something or communicate something that's totally shocking to you, or you just don't really understand why they would think that or why they would do that, it gives you time to process and respond to yourself in a way that isn't harmful, in a way that if the very first time you're hearing that is in the clinic in front of you, there's a higher potential for harm.
That's great. Well said.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying a correct deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's NUstep.com. Online at newstep.com.
Let's get back to the show.
Are you ready for three questions right now, Christina?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, three questions is brought to you by our friends at Arias Medical Staffing, sponsoring us again in 2020. I want to say thank you to Arias, finding PTs and PTAs jobs all around the country. This guy's been there for us since the beginning. So finding you a job, letting your PT license act like a driver's license or a passport, and you can be free to move around the country and practice where you want geographically, anywhere in the 50 U.S. states, and setting-wise. They've got settings in all different corners, from pediatrics to pelvic floor, right? Find them online at AURUSmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com. They are always at the major conferences. So if you want to talk about what could be with Travel PT, whether you're beginning your career as a new graduate or if you're a seasoned professional, talk to them. No obligation. Just ask them what it's all about. Again, AURUSmedical.com. Christina, you're in Colorado, but if you were given carte blanche, you could go do what you want to do, wherever you want to do it in the 50 U.S. states, where would you head?
Southern California, hands down.
Yeah, it's difficult to make an argument against that. Yeah, beaches and warm weather and Southern California, that's it right there. So, yeah, Southern California comes up often. You could be a PT there. Second question, I love stacking up my reading list or my podcast list or my Netflix queue, anything. Something you've listened to, watched, read that really inspired you?
So I've read Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed multiple times. I'm not normally a rereader, but it's so good. It's actually a collection of advice columns that Cheryl Strayed, who wrote Wild, wrote anonymously, and it's just a good read.
That's great. What's it about? Like, give me like the quick 10-second version. Like, what's she cover?
Literally everything. So people will write in with a question, and she has this persona of this no-nonsense but very sweet Southern lady who will just tell you about yourself in her response, and you feel very seen. Even with things that I've never experienced, I was like, I could see why that would be good advice, as I'm like crying by myself.
I love it. If it makes you laugh and cry, it can't be bad right there. So Tiny Beautiful Things.
Yeah.
Last question on three question is a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about?
Yeah, so Heather Edwards, who I mentioned, who is doing courses on treating gender non-binary and trans clients and patients and people, is amazing. Heather's totally changing the game in terms of talking about pelvic floor physical therapy and sex and gender and all of it.
That's great. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. Again, if you're thinking about Travel PT, these guys have been doing it for more than two decades at Arias, so AURUSmedical.com. I love asking questions about this, and I know you said you were going to think about it. Tell me a time with a patient working with the people that you get to work with that really, really struck a chord. You know, someone when you're having a bad day, you think about this person and it reminds you why you do what you do.
Yeah, so it actually happened pretty recently. I had a gender non-binary client who came in and they were very clearly nervous, and no one, like, in any case, no one comes to pelvic floor physical therapy and is like, this is going to be a great time.
Right.
Like, I'm super stoked about having a vaginal exam today. Wahoo. So they were already understandably nervous. And then to add in the fact that, like, what is just not knowing who your healthcare provider is going to be, what their competency is going to be, if they're going to, who's going to feel awkward, all of that sort of stuff. And so that first session, we really just talked, and they left feeling noticeably lighter, which was really positive. And they mentioned that to me, that they were so scared about coming to the appointment. They thought about canceling it 4 different times, but they really felt like they needed help. And so they were glad they came. And then by the third time they came, they told me, you know, this was, I just really wasn't afraid to come today. I was actually looking forward to this appointment. I knew that it was going to be a good experience. And I just am really grateful, because that hasn't historically been my experience with healthcare providers.
That's huge.
And so, yeah, it was a big deal to me.
That's great. Yeah. And the reason I like to ask that question on this show is, you know, number one, it puts the picture in someone else's head who gets to listen, but it also makes the audience think, oh yeah, there are a couple of those stories, you know, more than a few in my career that I should probably think about more often. A lot of times we get caught up in the negatives or the hard parts of our jobs or documentation or whatever. Thinking about those is always a good way to make someone remember why we do what we get to do. So that's great. I like hearing about that. Last thing we do on the show, Christina, is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right, parting shot brought to you by Rock Tape, more than just a tape company, a movement company, helping you get your patients moving stronger longer. Medical discount 10% at rocktape.com/medical. That is rocktape.com/medical. The tape, obviously, but also courses and the instruments that you get to use in your PT practice. Parting shot, Christina, your last mic drop moment. What do you want to leave with the audience? What sentiment do you want to end on?
I want to end on just the fact that it working with these types of clients, whether that's talking about sex or working with non-binary clients, transgender clients, anyone on the LGBTQIA spectrum, or anyone that isn't someone who's just like you, is totally doable. You can do it. It takes a little bit more brain power, but it's totally within your wheelhouse. And there are lots of people out there, including myself, who would love to help you do it.
Love that. Very motivational. You can do it. It takes a little extra effort, but they're worth it. So that's why you showed up, right?
100%.
Christina, I appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us. Hope you have the back on the show again sometime soon.
I would love that.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.